Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. Psyched about Core Sound Pads, because these guys not only are sponsoring this broadcast,
woo-woo,
but they produce a product that is priceless.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing for worship leaders, and as you know, we are worship leaders. And
what? We are? Okay.
So I've been experimenting. This is the cool part about Core Sound Pads, is that they have many different options, many different libraries to choose from.
Which is brand new to the Pad Loops world, because most people have, and Haley, you were just talking about this.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know you were so passionate about Pad Loops.
I am passionate about Pad Loops, because there is nothing more annoying to me in worship than bad pad loops. Like, they're running in the background and the band's loud so you can't hear them, and then everything gets quiet and it's this holy moment, and then all of a sudden you have this sound that sounds like a cat choir, and it's like and it's, I mean, it's like the destruction of the temple. It's like, I have very strong feelings about it.
Well, I'm super impressed, and we're getting ready to go through the list here, but they have so many different varieties of loops. You can just choose the style that fits your set or your song, and way more flexible than anything else I've ever seen.
Yeah, most packs that you get for pad loops are just that. You've got a little drone, and you maybe have some guitar swells. You have them in every key, and that's it.
Yeah, we've heard of Core Sounds, I was kind of like, well, that's good enough. It'll work. But wasn't perfect.
It makes every song sound the same.
Yeah. Since I've been experimenting, and I have not yet delved into all of the different options, but I have used Angel Anthem and the Ambient Road sets. But in addition to those, we have the Organ Drone set, which is really cool. Warm Serene, which is a vibrant and full kind of mellow, higher frequency sound. And then you've got orchestral strings. So if you really want a big sound, if you've already got a big band and you just want to add dimension, that'd be a great way to go. Rich Sparkle. It's got a lot of movement in it, so it creates a shimmer and great ambiance there. Subtle Sweet. If you're new to using sound pads, this is probably the greatest place to start. It's a real subtle pad. It's called Subtle Sweet, and it's a minimal yet essential pad with lots of warm hints of texture. So Guitar Sky, probably one of my favorites that I've listened to. I have not yet used them, but I plan on it, because you've got all kinds of guitar swells, the perfect guitar swells.
Yeah.
And they just sound amazing.
It's like having Reynaldo Velez in your back pocket.
Right, exactly.
Hey, you know what's fun is using them in your kid's room for napping.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Or a nice couples massage.
So how many pad loops in all? How many sets there?
Eight. Eight different sets that they have right now.
So if you love us, and you know you do, if you love the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, you're like, man, I wish I could help those guys out. Core Sound Pads are offering a 20% discount to our listeners. That's like getting them for free, guys. So if you're a worship leader, musician, you lead worship in any capacity, and you love pad loops, or you've never tried them, this is the time to get in. Try it out. You're going to help us. You're going to help yourself. It's a win-win.
Just go to coresoundpads.com. That's C-O-R-E, soundpads.com, and use the promo code NGWB. whenever you check out. NGWB is the promo code to use. You get to 20% off, and I guarantee you will not regret it. It's going to be probably one of the best decisions you've made as a worship leader. Today, we're visiting with the Harrimans from Mexico, Central and South America, missionaries down there, good friends of ours, and we're talking about Journey of World Changers, two-part interview. We're going to be talking with them today and next week. Today, we're going to dive into the aspect of attitudes and presets about the power of God and kind of how that applies to our lives. And then later on in the show, we'll interview the Harrimans about how it applies to theirs. Coming up.
Save your church from the cat choir.
Identity Music is the music publishing arm of Next Gen Worship. We are a family of creatives who love the presence of God, who desire to see the kingdom advance through creativity and music. We are sound artists. Recorded sound has the power to convey emotion, tell stories, and bring the listener into an experience where time stops for a journey of the heart. We are currently completing our state-of-the-art custom audio recording studio, utilizing industry-standard tools at the core of our creative process. We are asking you to partner with us. We have currently connected with a donor that promises to match dollar for dollar all donations made to complete our studio. That means if you contribute $100, it's like giving $200. There are just a few loose ends to tie up before we can start shaping sounds that change history. Help us. Donate today and have it matched at nextgenworship.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
We're so fortunate this week to have some of our good friends with us, the Harrimans, missionaries to Mexico, Panama, South America. They've gone down into Chile.
Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they're okay. World travelers.
Yeah. So I like to talk like this when I talk about them because.
I don't think that's how they talk
in
Chile.
I hear a little Brooklyn in it.
No,
I'm not sure where you're from now.
I don't know. Whenever I do a Latin accent, I just imagine Penelope Cruz.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to tell you something.
Okay, sounds like a mixture of Penelope Cruz and Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, okay.
Oh, great. Great cartoon, by the way.
No, Pepe Le Pew is more like this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's such a healthy cartoon because I watched it when I was 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay.
Yeah. Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, the Harrimans are our really good friends, and they are all over Latin America, and we're so fortunate to be interviewing them today and next week. We're going to be talking about the journey of world changers. Today, we're diving into the topic of attitudes and presets about the power of God, how the power of God has just invaded our lives and changed perspective and everything else.
Yeah, so I wanted to call this the journey of a world changer because, man, that's the journey that we're all on, and I love watching the Harrimans. I mean, how long have we known the Harrimans, Haley, before they were married?
Since 1997.
All leading worship together.
20 years.
Yeah, all leading worship together as young people and just going through this process of, you know, just getting dunked over and over again by Holy Spirit and just keeping going until we interface the world with what's happening on the inside of us. But not everybody has the mindset of changing the world, especially because of the way our Western culture church mindset is. I mean, we attend a service, and a lot of people just have that mentality. Well, I'm going to attend a service, and I'm going to, you know, we see them going to church, we see them going to work, and the kids go to school, and they come home, and they eat supper, they go to bed, and they repeat the process, and the city never changes. You know, the region never changes, the world never changes. So it takes an intentional mindset, and I wanted to dive into this today to reveal the mindset that us three have right here, because we're doing things that we never thought we would do, and we're taking risks and having some grit and going for things. What is the mindset that causes you to go outside of your comfort zone?
I think there is a breakout moment that you have as an individual that is either revealed to you by Holy Spirit, or you come to a place where you're just like, I am going to do what I'm called to do, whatever that is. Once you get to that breakout moment, all bets are off. Everything changes, you know, and that looks different for everyone. So it's not always the same formula. It's not a formula to be found, but there is a moment where you become one of the committed.
Oh, wow.
And then things began to heat up. And I love what Jesus said. If you want to follow me, you must first deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me.
Right.
That breakout moment is the denying yourself. That so breakout good. Moment is saying, I'm no longer going to live for me. I'm no longer going to live for the provision of my family and the protection of my family. And I'm not going to just build a career and a great retirement and live the American dream anymore. But all bets are off. I'm going after God and I'm taking my family with me.
Mm, love it.
And so it's no longer this protective mindset. It's an adventurous mindset. And I think that point has to come in order for somebody to become a world changer.
That's so powerful.
For me, it's coming to grips with God as my Father and the belief that He is good. So that creates a safety net for me because risk is not normally something that has ever been in my vocabulary. Like, I don't even know how to spell that word. And so being able to just have that preset in my mind that He is a good Father and, you know, there's that trust and safety in His plan means that I can be willing to jump out into the unknown without fear.
Yeah, for me, it involves a couple things, and these are all kind of presets I have in my mind. Number one, I grew up in church being told what to think, not how to think. And when you empower someone to think for themselves, I feel like I'm a motivational speaker here. I should get like a pen name and be. But when you
Clinton Robbins.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's really good, actually. You're so good at this. But when you empower people how to think, you start to give them the ability to take ownership for their life and for their family and for the destiny of their family and inevitably for their city, their region, and so forth. The other thing is, and this is something that a core value that we have really tried to establish in our community is that we don't gather together based on what we believe. We gather together based on relationship. And churches, you see this all the time, they huddle themselves together based on, well, we all believe the same thing. And so what does that mean? That means when we disagree, we split.
Mm-hmm.
And man, yeah. how many times does that happen? It happens all the time. Disagree, split, disagree, split, disagree, split. And we're never going to change the world with that mindset. So we have intentionally created a community and a culture in our midst that says, I value my relationship with you more than what you believe. And in that, we've started to shed some of our pet little soapboxes, our pet little doctrines that weren't changing the world anyway. Right. And we begin to adopt these higher value core kingdom concepts that has empowered us to start to live outside of our own little agreement world. Mm. And we've started branching out and collaborating through relationship, and Holy Spirit has dwelled and inhabited that place and given us ideas that we never would have come up on our own, ideas that are powerful, transformative, grassroots, and that really resonate with people's hearts.
And that mindset is truly transformative because what it does is it takes off the competitive edge that you feel all the time. I remember going to church feeling this competitive edge with every single person that I came in contact with. You know, what if I show that I'm hurting? What if I reveal that I'm not all put together like they are?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and they're thinking the same exact thing. And there's this competitive edge like, I'm all good, brother. How are you? I'm fine.
Shout
you know?
The victory.
No, everything's good. Everything's good. No, it's really good. It's good.
It's good you inside know? My box.
Yeah, but when you really go after relationship, when you lose inhibitions and you become vulnerable and you say, you know what, I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but together, you realize that the bride He's coming back for is all of us together.
Being able to focus on community and relationship more than pet doctrines about what I believe or, you know, things like that really kind of opened my world to see how much bigger the body of Christ is than I thought and made it not so much a focus about me fitting in somewhere. It was about how can I be connected to these people and how can I connect with them on a heart level. For me, it made the world a much bigger place. Like I realized there's way more people that love Jesus that are a part of His kingdom than I had allowed myself to believe with my blinders on of I can only be one certain direction or one group of people.
And it could be even bigger than that. We'll only know when we get there. But why else would Jesus have ascended beyond the highest heaven to fill the universe with himself?
I love that.
I mean, wow. I'm just throwing it out there. It's worth pondering and meditating on.
Yeah. You need to insert a little Sputnik. Me,
yeah, me, me, me.
Well, this hits on another core kingdom value that we really, really believe in, and we haven't really said it this show, but have touched on it. It's unity. And it's not unity around, again, what we believe. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, you believe in baptizing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe in baptizing them, you know.
I believe in God the Father.
Yeah, I don't know. I just believe in getting as many people in that tank as possible. So I don't know, you know. But when we unify in the Spirit, the Bible talks about unity in the Spirit. When we unify, that means we're unifying around heaven's heart and agenda, not just for my little church thing or my little home group thing. Like, you know, we're having a good time. Stay out, everybody. We're identifying with his heart for a city, with his heart for a nation, and with his heart for a world. And when we unify around that, man, we start getting heavenly downloads, blueprints, strategies, things that are going to advance the kingdom and destroy the dominion of darkness that are over our cities.
Come on.
And that's his heart. That's his value. He's like, I want to strip this thing away and make it a place where the kingdom of God flourishes. You know, it's like light dispelling darkness. Mm. And when we get that mindset, how can we just stay in our comfortable in our little pew and our church attendance mode? Man, that is a radical mindset that will birth world changers.
It causes you to see people through Jesus's eyes, through the mindset of heaven, instead of our judgmental opinions.
Yeah. I mean, it really allows us to partner with each other.
Yeah.
If we're unified around the heart of our Father, mm-hmm. rather than a cause or a belief or bylaws or...
Or even just building a church. Let's build our church.
Right. It's so futile because if we were all unified around the heart of the Father, everyone would be working together.
Yeah, yeah.
There wouldn't be this resistance to go, well, I don't want you infiltrating my space. This is our little world here.
Yeah, I believe we're going to see a real shift. Like we've seen a real church growth thing happening in the past decade or so. Been very powerful. We're doing church really well. Now we're going to see a shift where God places an emphasis on the city and starts speaking to these groups of people that have been doing church really well. Now coalesce because I have been creating an army. And it's time to break the jars and light the torches and rattle the swords. It's strategic from heaven. And we're going to have to be aware of that and kind of trumpet this and go, hey, it's time to collaborate and not compete.
Yeah, the church has been trying to be culturally relevant for so long that it is actually going to transcend the relevance factor into the influence factor.
There you go. Very good.
And I think it's going to begin to influence culture like it never has before. We're going to talk a little bit more about this journey of world changers, attitudes and precepts about the power of God with the Harriman's missionaries to Latin America. And we're excited to have them on the show today and next week as we continue to talk about encounters and truths that have completely redefined everything. It's all coming up.
So I've been using pads in worship for like 4 or 5 years. And I remember when they first came out, very popular, like it's a new thing. There's only like one pad set available. So I downloaded them and it's like, wow, this is great. And just by default, I just use those forever. You know, it's like, you know, people come out with different pads and like, hey, this is great. Well, I've already got some. Why do I need new ones? Until we heard about Core Sound pads. And then I checked them out and found out they had all these different varieties. And so I tried them out at the last 24-hour worship gathering that we had in our city. I was actually going through and finding the actual set of pads that sounded best with the type of music I was doing, the songs I was doing. And that was so awesome because it wasn't, you know, me making do with an ambient pad set in the background that may or may not quite match. And every now and then it sounds like it's off, you know. But when we used the Core Sound pads, man, I was able to kind of tailor the sound I wanted for the set I was doing, which was way beyond anything that I was used to before.
Go to coresoundpads.com. That's C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your bundle today.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Today and next week, we are visiting with Rob and Catherine Harriman from RK Missions. They are missionaries to Latin America, all over Mexico, Central and South America, and they are stirring things up. And we're fortunate enough to have on the program with us today, Rob and Catherine.
All right, Rob and Catherine Harriman, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's
good to be here.
So we have quite a history together. We had you guys on last year, and we were leading worship together before we even had spouses or kids.
Yes.
And so we've got to see your journey. Why don't you catch us up to speed real quick on what you've been doing?
All right. We are YWAM Missionaries, Youth with a Mission. It's established like 60 years ago. So we are right now in Panama, and we're doing some training, and eventually we're going to move to Mexico, and we're going to pioneer a base in central Mexico where there's much need. But that's pretty much where we're at.
Yeah. So you were telling me recently about, I don't know what you call it in YWAM, when you go through the school and you go through the entire experience, and then at the end you have a mission, right. You know, something you do. Set that up a little bit. Tell us about it and tell us what happened there.
Okay. Well, we do what's called a discipleship training school in YWAM. It's a 5-month school that you do. The first 3 months is based on lecture, and you focus on getting to know God. And the last 2 months is outreach based. So it's basically a 1-week mission trip on steroids for 8 weeks. And you apply everything that you've learned about God on the streets, doing ministry, reaching people, touching people in real life. So we just got back from one. We're the leaders of the school now, but as leaders, we go along with our students. And we were in South America. We went to Chile and Bolivia. It was the most powerful ministry time Rob and I have ever seen in our ministry personally. It was incredibly powerful.
It's just amazing that God can use anything. We so limit God to be like, God will only use me if this happens, this happens. So we use something very spiritual as the girls in our bus needed to go to the bathroom. And so we had to stop in the middle of Bolivia at a town, probably 1,000, 2,000 people. And so the girls went off to the bathroom and I'm waiting 5 minutes. I'm waiting 15 minutes. I'm waiting 20 minutes. I'm waiting 30 minutes. I'm getting nervous. Where are the girls? They really took a long time to the bathroom. And finally, they came back. And I was like, I mean, a little upset. Where were you? And they're like, we just had a move of God. And I was like, in the bathroom? She's like, no, we couldn't find a bathroom. But we accidentally walked into a prison. And so,
yeah, it was like a little county jail. And so we went in this, it looked like a door. So we went through the door and there was a window with bars on it and all these guys out in this courtyard. So we were like, hey, come over here. And we end up preaching the gospel. We're like, does anybody want to be saved? All the prisoners and then the warden and his wife and child were also there. They get saved. So it was kind of like that story, Paul and Silas, where the prisoner
come
and his
on,
whole family,
yeah.
The warden and his family. And so all the prisoners get saved. And then we're like, we want to pray for you guys. So we start praying for them. And the Lord starts giving us words of knowledge about different ones that have been through abuse, addiction, different physical healings that God wants to heal. And they would raise their hand to respond to the word. And we put our hands through the bars. So me and all these little American, European, Guatemalan girls are putting our arms through these bars,
oh,
praying
wow.
for these guys.
Yeah.
And they are just openly crying and broken, and the presence of God comes in, and it was like being in church, but you were in the middle of a prison, in
that
the middle
rocks.
Of a town, in
yeah.
the middle of South America.
That sounds like a Book of Acts story.
It was
yeah,
amazing.
Except for I was watching the stuff, so I got to see none of this. So I was at the van worried. And so I got gypped out of seeing a really awesome move of God because I had to guard our stuff.
That's incredible. Now, you were telling me a story about a little boy that was either blind or deaf. Which was it? Tell that story about how he got healed and what happened in that family.
Well, I'll set it up and let Catherine finish her out. We were doing street ministry. We literally dropped our stuff on the street in front of somebody's garage door.
Is this yeah. Bolivia or
this
where is this?
Bolivia.
Bolivia.
Close to La Paz, which is the capital. And so we just drop our stuff. We begin to do dramas. You know, my son has a dance-off with another team member in the middle of the street.
And that draws people.
And it draws people. And so
yeah.
the people come. So we do our presentation, we do our dramas, we do our puppets, we do everything. And the thing we've learned, we never wait for them to respond. What we do is let's respond, close it out, and we literally go out into the people and start putting our hands on them. And so that's exactly what we started to do. And I started ministering to another man, and Catherine started ministering to a mom and a young boy.
I feel like I need to explain a little bit the culture in this nation, Bolivia. Much of it is indigenous, and so they're not that warm Latin culture that maybe you would encounter if you went on a mission trip to Mexico or Honduras. They're more of a very reserved, very skeptical of anything a foreigner is going to come and tell them, very hesitant to make any sort of a decision or any kind of a commitment. So the fact that we would go into a place and just really bring the presence of God, whether it was through worship or through just sharing the gospel. And we would pray and worship every day as a team before we go do ministry together. And so we created this presence-centered ministry that really works. And I've seen a lot of ministries that long to see the supernatural. They long to see signs and wonders and miracles. But you have to create almost an invitation for the Spirit of God before you can expect that to happen. I don't know if that makes sense. It's not a works thing. It's not like, well, you have to do this if you want God to move. It was just kind of doing ministry a little bit different, where we were centered on, Jesus, we want you to come here. And Holy Spirit, just use us however you want to. So it's this really interesting combination of obedience and then just being really bold when the Lord said, hey, you need to do this. Okay, I don't really know if I can, but I'm going to trust you if you're telling me to do it. So that's what happened with this boy. His mom brought him to me and said he was struck by a teacher some years ago in school on the left side of the head, and it caused him to go deaf in his left ear. And so I was standing on the left side of the boy, and so I said to him, hey, what's your name? And he said, what? And so I had to speak pretty loud to say, hey, what's your name? And he could tell me his name. So I started talking to him about Jesus, but I found myself having to repeat myself several times and saying it louder so that he could understand what I was saying to him. So I finally got to the point of, like, do you believe that when I pray for you, Jesus will heal you? And he said, yes. And so I put my finger in his ear. Now, I have to give you guys a backstory so you don't assume that we think we're awesome, because this is you, okay? You're on a street in Bolivia, and you're putting your finger in a deaf boy's ear. How do you feel right now? You don't feel like anything's going to happen, mm-hmm. right? And you're already, your brain's already coming up with, you know, the plan B and C and D of how to explain to mom, I'm really sorry, nothing happened, but Jesus is still good. In that moment, I'm putting my finger in his ear, and this is all going through my head. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do plan B and C, because I don't have to explain to her Jesus is good. I know he's good. And he's not just good to me. He's good to them. And so as I prayed, I just prayed for the goodness of God and the goodness and the faithfulness of Jesus into that boy's ear. And I released healing, and I commanded his ear to open. And then I reminded myself, and I reminded the Lord, and I reminded the enemy that was attacking my mind. And I said, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and they recover. Mm-hmm. And so I was praying this out loud, and I just said, I am obeying everything Jesus told me to do. And I believe in the power of obedience, that when he says lay hands on the sick, he does a recovering. And so about halfway through the prayer, the little boy has stood there very stoic-faced, and all of a sudden he kind of scrunches his eyebrows and looks at me really funny, and then his face relaxes again. And so we get done praying, and I take my finger out of the ear, and I know that the Holy Spirit's like, you need to test it immediately. And so I lean forward into his ear, and I whisper, what's your name? And he immediately tells me his name. And when he does, he kind of looks over at me like, I just heard you say that. So I started repeating other things, and he started to respond quickly. Well, by this time, his mom's already crying because she knows this is something he couldn't do before.
Mm, wow.
And so then I started saying things like, Jesus is my healer, and he would repeat it. And it was just amazing to see this little Indian family on the street experience the power of my ear is open. And this kid, I think it was 9, was still sort of like, it was a weird thing. It was kind of in shock of like, what just happened here? And so, of course, immediately after that, they gave their hearts to Jesus. And that's something that we found is really easy to do when Jesus heals your body. You suddenly are okay with with giving him your life. You know, it's like, I think I can trust him. Mm-hmm. So I think this is real. So that was another really, really powerful moment that we experienced. And I want to encourage you guys, if you're listening, you're like, man, I've never seen a miracle before. I don't even really like do that kind of thing. It's probably not my ministry or my call. If you read through what Jesus says, he doesn't say only missionaries get to do this, or only pastors get to do this, or only somebody that calls himself a traveling evangelist. He says, go, preach, and heal. Mm-hmm. You know, set people free. And so you don't have to be any special someone to just start going to Walmart and setting people free as his heart leads you and draws you to do that.
Yeah. I love all the stories of the miracles and, you know, going into these different places. I mean, accidentally stumbling into a prison and seeing people get saved or prophesied over. But I want to come back next week and talk to you guys again about the heart place you guys are in. Because it's easy to put, like, even your story on a pedestal and go, they're special or they're good mm-hmm. at what they do. But, you know, I'm a nobody. And so let's highlight your journey a little bit and talk about the difference between the Mary versus Martha thing. So real quick before we go, tell the people how they can get in touch with you guys.
All right. You can get a hold of us. Really, we have a Facebook page called RK Missions, Rob and Catherine Missions. That's how we got that name. So it's RK Missions. Look it up, like it. And we post on there almost daily about what God's doing in Panama and in the nations. Also, our email is rkmissions7, because there's seven kids, rkmissions7@gmail.com. And we also have a website, rkmissions.com, where we invite you to show up, look at our story, and you can get to know us that way and reach out to us. We love contacting people from home or all over the states, and pray for us.
Yeah, the rkmissions.com website at the bottom, there's some links you can go in and read a blog I write, a blog my 12-year-old writes. I think we have a link to YouTube there as well, and we have a YouTube channel, and our kids make video blogs, and those are absolutely, I highly recommend them. They're entertaining, but your kids can learn about missions. You can learn about missions. It's a very lighthearted way to share what we're doing.
Very good. Thanks, guys, for sitting down with us today. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome.
Bye-bye.
So good to have our friends, the Harrimans, on the program with us, missionaries to Latin America. If you love those stories, we have more of them next week as we continue the discussion of a journey of a world changer, and it is going to be amazing. You definitely don't want to miss it. Next week with RK Missions, right here as we explore the Father's heart to find out what he wants for our generation and the generations to come. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.